So what we're going to be doing, you can see a map of ancient Israel, or part of it, and you can see here Galilee is the area where Jesus did most of his ministry. A lot of the stories in the Gospels come from the region of Galilee, but there are two records of Jesus going into the area to the southeast. You can see it's called the Decapolis. That's the Greek word for 10 cities. But that region was not inhabited by Jews. That was inhabited by Gentiles or Greeks. So this morning we're going to look at the two times that Jesus went to the Decapolis. And as we're going through some of this stuff, you may be wondering, what does this have to do with us? Joey, where are you going with all this? But hopefully by the end, we'll kind of wrap it up and we will leave here ready for what the Lord has for us, okay? So let's start out in Mark chapter 5. This is Jesus and the disciples. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. So you can see they crossed the Sea of Galilee and they're in the Decapolis region. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains. But he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. Now this is a scary guy, isn't it? And I'm sure the disciples were nervous as they were traveling across the sea. They know the area where they're going. And they got to be wondering, Jesus, why are you taking us here? This is not a clean or a safe place for Jews. This is full of Gentiles who don't know you, full of scary people we've heard of in stories. And the first person they're confronted with is this scary man. And let's see what happens next. And when this man saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. Why did Jesus give permission to the demons to enter the pigs? Was he being nice to the demons? I don't think so. But I think he wanted everyone to know the size of the battle. We have one man, Jesus, going up against at least 2,000 demons. And Jesus showed them and showed those who were witnesses who had authority. And what is the response of the people living here, the people that have seen all this happen? The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs, and they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. So the response of the people living there, the people that witnessed all this, they begged Jesus to leave their region. But there was one man that didn't want that. He begged to be with Jesus. And could you imagine this man's feeling when he's begging Jesus, "Jesus, don't leave me here. I want to go with you. You just did something incredible in my life. Please let me go with you." And Jesus says, "I'm sorry. I want you to be here. And I want you to proclaim to your friends what the Lord has done for you. I want you to proclaim the mercy that you've received." Jesus sent him to work. And what does it say? And everyone marveled. I think this story is there to see the drastic difference of a man that not even chains could bind him down or keep him contained, because the demons living inside of him were so powerful. But then a more powerful man comes and frees him from his bondage to this slavery to evil. And Jesus sends him to work, telling what the Lord has done for him. So now some time goes by, and Jesus is ministering in Galilee again and stuff. And then we get to chapter 7. So this is chapter 5. Once we get to chapter 7, Jesus comes back to the region of the Decapolis. So this is the second time that he comes. And how do the people greet him here? And then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged Jesus to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephrathah," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged him to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." So this second trip back to the Decapolis region, the people receive him differently, don't they? What is the response towards Jesus this time? You see the third line there. They begged Jesus to lay his hand on this man. They want Jesus now. Did the deaf man come to Jesus himself? No, it says they brought him. So there's a group of people. It's not just one person. This is quite a shift in attitude from the time Jesus last departed here. And Jesus tells them to keep the news of the healing quiet, but what do? They zealously proclaim it even more. And this is at the same trip to the Decapolis. We read in chapter 8, "In those days when again a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples to him and said to them, 'I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat.'" Most likely they were with Jesus, hearing him teach the good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus says, "If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away." And his disciples answered him, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" And he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they set them before the crowd, and they had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were what? Satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full, and there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away. So again, Jesus just does this miracle. We had the feeding of the 5,000 several chapters earlier in the region of Galilee. And now there's another time where Jesus feeds the crowd with just a few loaves of bread and a few fishes, 4,000 people. Jesus is the provider for all these people. There was nothing to eat in the wilderness. But Jesus shows that he provides and brings life. And the bread, the physical bread, is symbolic of the true spiritual provision and life that Jesus provides. And how many people were fed? 4,000. Think back, Jesus' first trip to the Decapolis. What did they do? They begged him to leave, right? The second trip, there's a group of people that begged him to heal their friend. And there was 4,000 people ready to receive him, his teaching, and his provision. Now, we have to speculate a little bit because it doesn't say, but what might we speculate happened in between these two trips to the Decapolis? You remember the man who had been possessed by demons? I think this is what happened in between those two trips. Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. That's what I think happened during that time. There was a man who had been touched by Jesus, drastically changed by Jesus, and he got to work proclaiming who Jesus was and what Jesus has done. And it makes me think of this. Because here's another man who heard of Jesus and decided to follow him because of the testimony of Michelle and of Dan and of others. But there were some faithful believers that shared Jesus with Zach. And because of that, Zach started coming to Cornerstone, hearing the word preached. And I remember one Sunday, he expressed faith. And as we continued to talk over time, he was sharing how his anger started to go away and he started feeling peace. And then one Sunday, he decided he was going to get baptized. His baptism was the expression of his forgiveness of sins and his commitment to follow Christ. I think all of us here were witnesses that day. And one funny thing I remember about that, Zach always had tubes and things like that. And I said, Zach, you know, normally we do baptism by immersion, but it's totally okay if, you know, we sprinkle or pour on you. It's fine. Nope. I got my doctor to tape me up. I want to go all the way under, he says. All right, if your doctor gave the okay, we'll do it. But that was such an important day to him. He wanted to go all the way under. And it was probably a month and a half ago or so. I was talking to Zach on the phone, and he had shared that he just felt the need to start praying more for people. And he shared that he had prayed for someone in his building. And a couple days later, he calls back and he says he was talking to this bus driver on one of his trips, and he had prayed for his bus driver. And he could just hear the joy that the Lord was giving him opportunities to share his faith through prayer and to pray for others. And even in his suffering, and Zach suffered a lot, but even in his suffering, Zach praised Jesus, and he shared the mercy he received with others. So if I had called up Zach and, can you share your testimony? Or maybe we met him on the street. Zach, what's your testimony? A lot of people might ask him, How do you worship God in the midst of all that suffering? Zach would probably say, even though my body is broken, Jesus gave me spiritual life. Jesus forgave my sins. Jesus took away my anger. Jesus gave me a church that loves me. Jesus showed me mercy, and I want you to receive it too. Just repent and believe. And this is just a reminder for all of us. Have we experienced the mercy of Jesus? If you have, I wonder if Jesus would say this to you today. Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. I want us to think hard about that. The story that we read, I'm speculating that this man did do that, because the second time Jesus came back to the region, there were thousands of people ready to receive him and his word. And what might the Lord do through each one of us if we took it serious to share the mercy that we've received in Jesus? How might the Lord use that? Even in just the last couple years that Zach had faith, God was using him to touch the lives of others. Let's not miss those opportunities. We don't know when our day is. A lot of times death comes sudden. Make each day count. Share the gospel. Love others. Don't just think, oh, people will see the way I live. No, we need to express it in the way we live, but also in our words. How will people know if we don't share the gospel? How will people experience life like Zach and Murr and Sheila experienced if we don't share it? 2020 was a rough year. I think 2021 is going to be just as rough. But we can find life if we share the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, each one of us who knows you and has experienced your mercy has a story to tell of your grace and your love in our life. And I pray that you would use us like you used the man healed from the demons in Mark 5. Give us courage and boldness to tell our friends and family and neighbors what you have done and what you are doing in our lives. And Lord, if there's anyone here who has not experienced your mercy, I pray that they would repent from their sin, receive the free gift of forgiveness and grace that you offer, and follow you as their King. And all God's people said, Amen.